The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ash dieback is a serious disease affecting ash trees. It was caused by an invasive fungal pathogen originating in Asia, and the disease was first detected in Ireland in October of 2012 on plants imported from continental Europe. Well, now ash dieback is widespread across most of Ireland and is expected to kill the majority of ash trees over the next 20 years. Joining me now is Simon White, chairman of the Limerick and Tipperary Woodland Owners, and David Dowling, who's a hurley maker. Good morning and welcome. Simon, we'll go to you first. How extensive is the ash dieback? I mean, are the plantations pretty much decimated everywhere?
Absolutely. It seems in the last few years that it's really run rampant. As it was going to do, it was inevitable, seeing what happened in Europe. But our difference here is that in Europe they planted ash as in mixed species in woodlands. Here we did monoculture. So here we've lost everything. There they haven't. They still have forest left.
Mm. But how is it transmitted from tree to tree?
It's a fungal disease, so it spreads on the wind and it affects through the leaves, and the leaves build the fungus on the ground that's blown.
Are there any trees that demonstrate the Darwinian survival of the fittest?
They're saying that it's probably 1 or 2% of trees will do that. And we need to identify those trees and try and save them.
So if we identify trees that are not susceptible to ash dieback, those trees could form the genesis of a whole new set of plantations.
Yes, but remember with Dutch elm disease, it took 40 years for them to do that. So in the meantime, we've lost all our ash trees.
What is the compensation program for ash growers run by the government?
Well, the compensation from the very beginning, the way this has been dealt with has been appalling. It's been mismanaged from day one. It should never have been brought into the country. It was not the fault of the people who grew ash. We allowed the importation of infected plants.
But surely they were growers who brought them in.
They were brought in by companies who were planting for growers, and they were brought in by the nurseries. But it was the responsibility of the state to protect our island from this disease.
But did they know it was rampant in Europe?
They knew it was rampant in Europe, yet they didn't take... They've blamed European legislation, saying they couldn't do it. But that's nonsense. They could have done it. What was the first thing that they did when they identified ash dieback was they closed the door after the horse was gone by banning the importation of any more ash plants and planting any more ash. So they could have stopped it. They should have stopped it. And the delay in dealing with it has compounded all the losses to the people who've been growing ash.
So what happens to people who have been growing ash, whose plantations are now worthless?
Well, basically, they've been thrown on the scrap heap and they've been treated in a derisory fashion. These people are now elderly, like myself. There are an awful lot of people. The whole situation is very complex because there are people who planted back in the 90s. Now, their trees are coming to maturity and should be.
This is your payback time.
This is payback time. After 25 years, we have people who should be supplying hurleys for ash. And this is big money. And they've got nothing. Now, these are elderly people. They've been asked, in the terms of this, to go back to square one and start again.
And it's too late for them. They will not live to see the...
They won't live to see the thing. They can't. They're too elderly to go and do the management. Just planting trees takes a huge amount of effort to manage it. And now it's not like a greenfield site. These sites are covered in brambles and such like. And to maintain them and to nurture the new crop coming through. And then what are we going to plant?
And what
with?
Is the crop?
Well, that's just it. What are we left with? Ash was the only commercial broadleaf tree that we had in this country. And we've been asked to replace it with things like Sitka spruce. But Sitka spruce is, at the moment, under threat from this bark beetle that may come in. The whole thing about climate change is not to do with the amount of wet summers and warmer winters. It's the diseases that are coming through, the stresses on the trees that we
have. But there is no species of ash that they can bring in from anywhere is pathogen resistant.
No. There is no commercial tree. Any tree that you put in as a broadleaf has many environmental benefits to everybody, but not to the grower, unless you get paid for it. And we're being asked to do this with no income for the next, while those trees are growing for 70 years. Not only are the people that have done it being affected, but their children and their children's children are being put, their land has been rendered worthless. This is actually a land take. It's the state putting conditions on people, forcing them to do this, because if they don't do it, they're going to be against the law, because you have to replant. Why should we have to replant something? We went into an enterprise, and the people that I represent all across the country went into an enterprise for the good of everybody. We are the pioneers who could see that forestry has a huge benefit to the nation to deal with our climate change. And this government, this is a time when the politicians should see the need to deal with...
What do you want them to do?
I want them to treat forestry as the important business that it is.
No, did we want to be compensated for losses?
We need to be compensated for losses. The scheme that is put in front of us, we had no part or any hand in the design of it. In the recommendations of their review, they said we had to be, the stakeholders had to be that, because we have the knowledge. Actually, the people in the department don't have the knowledge. We have seen all the benefits of their lack of knowledge, which has devastated what we've been doing. So we need, for instance, all grant-aided ash sites of 1 hectare or more must qualify for the entry to this scheme and the benefits. No individual group should be left behind. But there are numerous sectors who have been ruled out. Say, for instance, if you planted a sector of ash with a sector of conifers, you're not eligible.
You're not eligible.
Well, why? That doesn't make sense. You've lost all your ash. Why are you excluded? Then the clearance grants must cover the costs of clearance. The minister, the spin that's been put on this is absolutely devastating to the people, and it's annoying. People are angry because, for instance, you're being told that the clearance grants have been doubled. They haven't. They've been at 2,000 for the last year. And they're saying that this is new. But it costs $6,800
to clear
an older site. You see, the whole thing, the spin has been put on that this is a one fix for everybody, 5,000 euros per hectare. But if you planted in the 90s, your losses are incredibly large compared to somebody who did 10 years ago.
Maturity.
We don't have any, people who planted after 2011, they still have premiums left.
Okay.
We don't have any income.
I want to go to David Dowling, who's a Hurley maker at Star Hurley. David, good morning.
Morning, Pat. How are you?
Have you a supply of ash still?
Yeah, we still have a supply, a good supply. So far this year, also, we've used Irish and English ash. So at the moment, the supply is good, but we're constantly kind of looking over our shoulder, wondering, I suppose, when the Irish supply is going to stop. You know, it doesn't feel like it's too far away.
And what about English ash? Did it not suffer from the same fate of that pathogen?
It does, but it seems to be, whether it's the majority of the trees or that, it doesn't seem to be impacting it as much as the Irish ash. The Irish ash seems to be much younger, so it seems to be more susceptible to the disease at the moment, whereas the English ash seems to fight it for a little bit longer. So, and an issue in Ireland is the licences to knock the ash. Sometimes they were taking 2 years to come in when ash, you know, was being impacted. So only recently, really, there's been a bit of a push on the licences. So a lot of ash that was fine, you know, within 2 years, that could be...
In other words, the ash was not sick yet and it could have been harvested and used for Hurley making. But in the interregnum, that ash disease dieback affected those trees that might have been okay.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I know of some of our suppliers who'd be going looking at the trees and they'd be, you know, they're having to clean the bark at the bottom to make sure they're suitable for hurley making now. And they would have looked at ash that was fine and came back maybe 2 years later when the license came through and ash wasn't suitable anymore. And to the cost of the grower, you know.
Yeah. Now, what about alternative materials for hurleys? They have been experimenting with bamboo.
Bamboo, yeah. So there was a hurley maker in Westmead a number of years ago who would have used bamboo. It's laminated bamboo, so strips of bamboo glued together, and there's three layers to it. So that's being used at the moment by a good few of the hurley makers around as maybe an alternative to it. So look, it's not the same as ash.
Well, you know, in terms of the characteristic, when you hit the slither, is there more bounce in the bamboo or less?
It feels like there's more bounce, but the ball doesn't seem to travel any further, if you know what okay. I mean. So I don't know. It's the problem with the bamboo, so we're making hurls for people, and it's kind of bespoke hurls, and people want different weights. And bamboo is all one kind of weight. Yeah. Whereas with ash, you get more mature ash, which is generally a bit heavier. You get younger ash, which is lighter with a wider grain. So you're able to make hurls to suit everybody. Whereas with bamboo, you're looking at a more standardised hurl, or else maybe adding, going back to what happened years ago, where people used to put lead into the bottom of hurls to get weight into it and that kind of thing. Yeah. So, like, ash is there is no solid kind of wood replacement for it. There doesn't seem to be.
So for the moment, between English and Irish ash, what's left of it, you're okay, but you're looking beyond the horizon and the news might not be good.
Yeah, particularly with Irish ash. And then there's ash in Europe as well, which I know some hurley makers are using ash. There's ash coming from the Ukraine, Slovakia. You know, there's Northern France is somewhere that was kind of always difficult to get into, but I think some of the suppliers are starting to kind of build some relationships with the foresters in Northern France. So I think they're becoming aware of, you know, their ash is losing value as well. So what we don't, the timeline, like we're hearing about dieback for the last 20 years. We don't know if in 5 years' time we're still going to be using all ash, or, you know, is it going to be 10 years' time or 2 years' time? We really don't know.
Right. It's an uncertain future. All right. Back to you, Simon, then. What's to be done now?
Well, basically, Pat, as far as we see it, there's so much resting on this. Ash dieback is seen as the issue on which it's a yardstick to see how the state supports people in forestry. We desperately need forestry. We need people to go into it. We're the pioneers. We're the ones that people come to. How would you plant? And we're saying at the moment, under the conditions that are there, they're so restrictive that nobody's planting. We had the Director General, Brendan Gleeson, up before the Joint Committee last week, and he's practically saying that nobody's going to plant the 8,000. They need to incentivise. Now, they need to take a completely
different...
Are
you talking with them? I mean, well, do you have a door open in the department?
We have a door open in the department today. We start with this task force, which was part of this review. But the task force was supposed to design the new programme, the new plan.
In consultation with you guys.
In consultation. They didn't do it. We've been continually left out. We're the ones with the experience. And we know what needs to be done. And we're now in an election year that this government is heading for disaster with the way the Greens... What I don't understand is that the Green Party is the one that should be promoting things properly. It's been given the responsibility and they're making an absolute hash of it.
All right. On that note, Simon White, Chairman of the Limerick and Tipperary Woodland Owners, and David Dowling, hurley maker at Star Hurley. Thank you both.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.